You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition. There's more information, yes, about the shooter, but I've concluded the way I would describe Stephen Paddock. I'm calling him the medicated mad mass murderer. Medicated because he was taking drugs as well as alcohol. I've concluded he's mad, crazy, has mental illness. He should have sought, what, professional help? Apparently did. He went to a doctor, got prescribed Valium, and that can be a disinhibitor, and that's the same with alcohol. Many people are simply shy, but alcohol and with Valium, they're no longer shy. They're outgoing, but they are disinhibited. There's no constraints on them, and I think they're contributing, but not. There's no real cause, and I don't think we're ever going to know why. I think the information I'm getting, they're out of leads, and it's frustrating because they'll never know why. Doesn't mean that we might get a breakthrough in the case, but usually within 48 hours, most of what you know or think you know is there. It's already there. And what you're doing is eliminating theories, hypotheses where there's no credible evidence. You need evidence. People have tons of opinion on this. I'm not involved in the case in any way, but I have looked at the past mass shootings, both at schools and in other venues. Several common denominators are they're men, usually young teenagers, 20s, 30s, and they're on some form of drugs, usually prescribed drugs. In other words, they're medicated. And typically, they either have gone off their medication, or if they haven't, they've had either an increase in dosage or a decrease in dosage, and they have mental issues. Doesn't mean they cannot be completely functioning. Many of them can, but many of them can't. And that's what I would emphasize. It's the nature of the disorder that they have, the mental illness. And I don't think we know the full picture here. And I don't think the government's going to. What's always interesting, usually it's many weeks later before they truly know the medical history. They've been talking to the doctor and get more information, more complete information. And that's why I announced yesterday that the new thing was that he had went to a doctor, was prescribed 10 milligrams of Valium. And Valium is used primarily to treat people with anxiety. And what it does is make people either go to sleep or become drowsy and sluggish. Just the opposite of what you want if you're going to engage in a mass murder. But, and there's always that big but, it impacts individuals differently. Yeah, there are millions of people that use Valium and have used Valium over the years. Those that have used it for a short period of time and for a much lower dosage than this, it comes in 3, 5, and 10 milligrams, have no problem with it. But it's rare, but you do have allergic reactions to it that are contrary to what you're primarily treating this for. And one of the side effects is aggressive behavior, as well as disinhibited behavior. So I think it's a combination of alcohol, a medication, Valium. There's other names for it, but that's, and it's of a class of drugs that will do this. That's been well studied and heavily prescribed. Now, there are other drugs that SSRI, serotonin selective reuptake inhibitor. Let me say that one more time correctly. Serotonin selective reuptake inhibitor. Now, I'm not going to give you a lesson, but you need a little bit. You have nerve cells in your body, and they communicate the way communication internally in the body is neurons will release, you know, chemicals that go to the next neuron. And if they're not have the right match, then they float in the synopsis or the gap. And usually what happens, they go back to from where they come. But what does an SSRI do? It makes it, the serotonin cannot be reuptake to the sender neuron, if you will. I'm not describing it accurately, and you don't need the details. It's interesting to know the details, and usually you'll get it in either a general psychology course or a biological psychology course goes into this in detail. The point being, drugs can have the effect of what? Making a person suicidal, have suicidal thoughts, as well as homicidal. And we've had a number of mass shootings. That's exactly the situation. Now, it has not been that common where Valium is the drug. There are other drugs that have had more mass shootings, but I try to remind you yesterday that John Hinckley Jr. that tried to assassinate President Reagan, and he did shoot him and Brady. He wounded several people. He was on Valium. And that's to calm people down, and that's the effect it has. It calms you down. Most people, fall asleep, but if they don't fall asleep, the effect lasts anywhere from 6 to 10 hours on average, 8. But you can't generalize. There are always exceptions to the rule, and unfortunately, the exceptions to the rule, the behavior is contrary to what you're trying to do. That people that are treated with this drug almost never go out and shoot people, a mass shooting or even a single person, or commit suicide. But there, you do get individuals that will engage in behavior totally contrary to why you prescribe it. And I emphasize that because what are the, I call them the lying lunatic left. What is the left and primarily the Democratic Party going on and on about it, together with big lie media, your television networks, cable networks? What are they going on and on about? Oh, we got to ban guns, or we got to ban the bump fire stock that enables a semi-automatic to become or imitate, not become. It does not give you that capacity other than imitation. And the reason why I'm emphasizing that, not that many people use a bump stock, because one, it leads to jams, and number two, it will ruin a barrel. If you keep pressing it down and repeatedly changing cartridges, that barrel is going to get not only very hot, it's going to be ruined. So people that have weapons don't want to ruin them. And while you could have, let's say, get your kicks off by, if you get, let's say you're on your own property, have your own range, fire multiple rounds, but you don't want to damage your weapon. And what they'll do is they'll fire several bursts and then put it down. It's not very accurate. The way I try to explain automatic fire, it's like a hose where you're trying to spray water over a lawn. Well, you're not aiming the water directly at the lawn. You're going over it left to right, up and down, and spraying. In this case, it's not water coming out, it's bullets. So I don't think we'll ever know the true motive. It seems that he was not that social. And remember what happened. His father became an infamous criminal when he was left the family when he was 7 years old. And he was a bank robber. And at least the government said he was a psychopath. And those people don't have a conscience. They don't feel things. Now, we have some evidence that he was a nice guy. He would talk to you, but very much a loner. He would say hello, though. And I can't make up my mind on that other than when people have I like to say mental issues. Some say mentally disturbed. Mental illness is probably the better way, general way. They should seek help. The focus should not be on gun control at all. Why are you trying to take the arms of law-abiding citizens that have done nothing? They need those arms to protect themselves first and foremost, to protect their friends, family, property, and themselves against criminals that are attacking them, usually breaking into their house, or they're on the street and criminals are shooting at them. I believe in the Second Amendment, and that means I will fight anyone and attack anyone, not physically but verbally, anyone that's trying to limit my rights under the Constitution. And it's the big government crowd, and that's primarily the Democratic Party and large portions of the Republican Party. And you got to be careful there, because the Republican Party in sheer numbers is not, let me emphasize, is not a limited government conservative party at all. It's just the opposite. They're very much like Democrats. You have about 100 people in Congress, in the House and the Senate, and that's being very generous, that I would call conservative. Now, some of them like to say they're conservative, but they're not. They're hypocrites and phonies, and they mislead you. So my conclusion on Paddock, he was the medicated, mad mass murderer. But he's not alone. Admittedly, he has the highest number of deaths, because he did have the skill set to plan things. He was somewhat meticulous, paid attention to detail. But see, I'm not buying the sheriff. I'm not saying he doesn't have some evidence that maybe he was trying to get away. Listen, sheriff, if he was trying to get away, and usually they're not, they're trying to be killed, usually by the police. But most of them will commit suicide. They first will get committed, and that's the way to look at this. The way they commit themselves, because they can't kill themselves right off the bat, the way they commit themselves is what? Killing other people. In this case, 58 other people. And then he knows going in, well, listen, if I kill 58 people, my chances of getting out of this are slim or none. So if I'm confronted by the police, I'm going to kill myself. And that's what they want to do. But they can't seem to do it first. Some do, and that's something to be emphasized. What do the majority of people that commit suicide, they usually use a pistol and blow out their brains, but there are other things that they do. They hang themselves, they use poison, or they might drive a car at high speed right into a cement wall. There are many, many ways to commit suicide, and those that are successful at it, very few that go out and try to kill others. And that's what he couldn't do until the right circumstances, alcohol, drugs, Valium, disinhibited him, and that enabled him to pull the trigger and kill a lot of people. I think he was planning this for months, if not years. And there's more and evidence that he made hotel reservations in a number of cities, primarily Chicago, where events were going to be held. And he was trying to book rooms that would give him a room with a view of a potential killing field. That's what he was looking for. And finally, on 1 October, he succeeded. And many, many people died. Many were also wounded. The answer is not another law or regulation. I'm not persuaded yet that banning or outlawing this stock that transforms, if you will, a semi-automatic, it imitates a full automatic. And the reason I say that is, how many mass shootings prior to this was one of these used? The answer is zero. Because many gun owners, until this instant, never heard of it. I never heard of it. And I dare say most of you haven't. The only ones that would be interested in a bump stock, first you got to have money, because you can damage, if not, you know, totally going to have to replace the barrel. So if you have limited means, I don't think bump stock's the answer in terms of just people that want to shoot. There are a lot of people that just like to go to the firing range and let off some rounds. And with a semi-automatic, you got to pull the trigger each time. But within 60 seconds, you can pull that trigger, if not 60 times, 50 to 60 times. And that's a semi-automatic. Are you going to ban semi-automatic automatic rifle? You're not going to do it. There are over 300 million weapons in the United States because we're the one country in the world, because of our Bill of Rights, we want the people to have arms. First, to protect themselves against criminals, but ultimately the purpose was to protect the people against an oppressive or tyranny-type government. And lo and behold, because the Constitution has been more or less shredded, we finally reached there. We have a big government whose functions, whose role, whose scope is many times what the Founding Fathers wanted. The Founding Fathers gave us both the Declaration of Independence as well as the United States Constitution. They go together. But the United States Constitution was to do what? Limit the government. They didn't want another oppressive government because they just fought a revolutionary war against the King of England, and they won. And that was the number one superpower of the time. So they didn't want it to happen again, so they gave the American people rights to protect them from exactly what we have today. We have a massively large big government, and that's the situation. I will probably not say any more. I more or less said that yesterday, but things will come out. I might update you occasionally, but I'm not going to focus in on this. They have questioned his girlfriend or former girlfriend, and she indicated he would wake up screaming. Well, people do have nightmares, terrors, but many times it's small children that wake up with these terrors, or I like to call them nightmares, screaming. And she thought remember, he sent her away. Where? To the Philippines. He found an inexpensive airline ticket to send her home, because she initially had Australian citizenship, but the family originally was from the girlfriend, Mary Lou. And the girlfriend said, I thought he was trying to dump me or get rid of me. He's definitely wanted her out of the way. So I don't think the girlfriend is in on it and knew anything about it. And there's no evidence that there was another person in the room. Let me say that again. There's no evidence someone was there when he was shooting. That doesn't mean other people were not in the room. Maid service was in the room. And you had previous guests were in the room. They can leave something behind, folks. So can the people that provide room service or a maid in the process of making the beds, vacuum the carpet, can leave accidentally, not on purpose, items. So I'm conclusion, this was a single person that did the killing. He was enabled by a combination of alcohol and drugs, prescribed drugs, in this case Valium. It could be another drug, who knows. There are many drugs that have caused mass shootings, and that the reason I'm hitting on that, the common denominator, besides being young men, he's not a young man, but he is a man, is they sought help from a doctor. Doesn't necessarily mean a psychiatrist. Could be a general practitioner, and were prescribed drugs to address whatever the condition is that they went in. I'm sure he went in and told the doctor, here's the situation, what can you do for me? And today, most doctors are prescribing medication. And now this was in June, now, 1st of October, so that's July, August, September. Usually it takes several weeks, not Valium, but from the other drugs to really take effect. And it also takes time if you're trying to get off of them. The Democrats are using this again for trying to eliminate the Second Amendment. Their goal, some will tell you this honestly, some try to hide it from you, but you better believe it. At the first time they have the opportunity to pass a law that would amend the Constitution. Remember, you need my memory's going blank. I think it's 3/4 of the states to approve it. 3/4 of the states to approve. That's why it's never going to happen. And that's why they don't try to repeal. You know, the quickest answer, if they were trying to confiscate all your guns, is one of the first things they need to do is repeal the Second Amendment. That just, the way it's set up, would take too much time. It wouldn't work anyway, because too many Americans have guns. And thank God for that, because that protects us somewhat from the government. Now, usually what the gun advocates will say, well, wait a minute, where do we draw the line? Can people have tanks? Can people have fighter jets, an F-16, an F-15, an Abrams tank, a bazooka? No, they can't. It needs to be reasonable. Governments have them. What the people have the right under the Constitution is to bear arms, to keep and bear arms. And that's pistols and rifles. And they do. And that is sort of a last resort bar from a tyranny in the sense that at least you'll have a weapon to fight back if we should ever have an oppressive tyranny. As far as I'm concerned, given the sheer size of the government, we already have it and have had it for several decades. And nothing fundamentally will change until we start electing representatives, senators, presidents, first of all, that have integrity, they have character, and first and foremost, they are true believers in the best sense of that word of the United States Constitution, and understand the Constitution is to limit what the government can do, both the executive branch and Congress, the House and the Senate. Call it the last resort check, if you will, against tyranny. But we're so far down that road to serfdom. And too many people are dependent on the government, and the deficits grow, and to pay the bills, what do? Every day we borrow more money, and now we're over $20 trillion in debt. It's increasing. So if there's some madness going on, and I think they're medicated, and I think it's madness, it's in the Congress, both in the House and the Senate. So I'm going to move off this story, probably for good. I'll come back to it if there's a major, major development. I'm sure we're going to hear more for the Democratic Party into what can we do to limit your rights, the citizens' rights to keep and bear arms. Oh, they're going to try. They're not giving up on this. They're afraid of the people. They are, despite what they say. They want to be able to control you and me, and they do it both by passing laws, regulations, and in the courts. And one other last thing. They have examined, the FBI calls it, electronic devices. They have examined his phone, laptop, computers, and they can find no evidence that he had been radicalized or in communications with groups that would have radicalized him, whether it's Muslim groups or political groups. So the profile that ultimately emerges is the medicated, mass murderer. The medicated, mad, mass murderer. Is this the last one? No. I'm surprised we haven't had more, given the over-prescribing of drugs by doctors. And the people take it. Many of them just don't take it properly. They either quit too soon or become addicted to it. I wish Congress would focus in on mental illness. I really do. Because that truly, if not the cause, it's correlated with a number of variables that lead to these suicide homicides. Can't show causal effect, but you definitely can show correlation. They're male, and they are taking medication. Now, they're going to differ as to their mental illness, what disorders they have, but it's the treatment that rarely, and that's what I need to emphasize. Are you going to ban all drugs? You're crazy. Millions of people are helped by the revolution, truly a revolution, and the drugs that are available to today that can help alleviate the pain, the suffering of various diseases and accidents. So we're very, very fortunate. Some countries, because this is expensive, can't do it. But in this country, we can, again, if you can afford it, and this gentleman could afford it, alleviate your pain and actually give you a high. And what I mean by that, make you happy, carefree, and you walk around with a smile on your face. But drugs affect the mind, the nervous system, the body. And while you might be smiling now, you really don't understand why. And when you're not taking your medication, you get a bad case of the blues, become a little paranoid or over-talkative. And if someone doesn't intervene or step in and get you true help, because the challenge today is most doctors, the way they deal with physical conditions and mental conditions, is to give you medication. And the medication is not necessarily cheap. As a matter of fact, many of the drugs are far from cheap. And that's why people need a good health insurance plan. But this gentleman had the money and availed himself of medical treatment. And I'm not blaming the doctor for not spotting this. People walk in the streets every day. And why some doctors are conscientious, try to take a complete history, try to really understand the nature of your complaint, what's your lifestyle. And see, the shooter was very much a risk taker. and a successful one in terms of real estate. So risk is another variable. And he took a calculated risk and lost when he stayed too long. Assuming if you believe the sheriff 100%, I'm still a little skeptical of it. I really don't think he was in any way planning to escape. Now, that might have been the ideal. And the reason is not hard to find, and he knew it, that maybe he could shoot for 3 seconds, maybe as many as 10 seconds, up to a maximum of 3 minutes. But within that period, there's going to be a concerted effort to try to pinpoint where the shooting coming from, and they did, as well as a number of alarms or warnings go off. And that's why he's dead today. He did have cameras trying to determine whether the police were on his floor and coming to his door. But he stayed too long, and because of that, many more people died. Fortunately, even though there were 20,000 people at this Route 91 Country Western Festival, only 58 died. Over 500 are treated. Fortunately, most of those have been able to go home, but there were some severely wounded. So he did a lot of damage in a space of maybe 10 or 11 minutes, and that's why he committed suicide. I think he intended to commit suicide. That's why he kept staying there and shooting people. And he only shot himself when it was abundantly clear that the police were going to breach the door, knock the door down, and they're coming in shooting. They have more than probable cause, and they will kill you. And he didn't want the police to do that. He wanted to control when he decided to put the gun to his head and shoot himself. And that's really the common denominator, suicides and homicides, precipitated by drug and alcohol use. And it was many years that he finally got enough nerve to do it. And he succeeded beyond his wildest expectations in doing it. Good riddance, and may the victims of this medicated mad mass murderer rest in peace. And my prayers and sympathies go out to the families. Now to another story that's in the news. It's not getting much attention, but it's important more for its long-range situation. The House passed a so-called budget blueprint. House Speaker Paul Ryan announced it. The legislation is together with what the Senate has also passed. They have a similar bill, was to make way in broad outlines for a tax cut. I don't call it tax reform. The most Trump is doing, and I think President Trump understands this and probably even agrees, although he won't say it, it's not fundamental tax reform. It's not. It's a very generous tax cut for who? Corporations that pay corporate income tax. And they're doing that by lowering the marginal rate on the tax from 35%. He wants it to 15%, would probably accept 20%. That is a major portion of the tax reduction. For those that have large estates that are not exempted, namely, they really have large estates, he's doing away with the so-called debt. He calls it the death tax. It's really an estate tax. It's the estate of the person that's died. And that will affect every year probably 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people who die and have a lot of wealth. And I'm talking over $5 million. You see, this tax doesn't raise that much money. It's really, in my mind, double taxation because the businesses, and it's primarily businesses driven, they pay taxes. Individuals as well as businesses have paid over the years many taxes. And this is sort of the government's last chance to take more of your money. And this time, you're not there. Aren't they nice, sweet guys? They wait till you're gone before they tell your heirs, you need to pay me you have a big tax bill here and you need to pay me. Now, I used to be in the financial planning industry, and I would help people structure transactions, structure their estates, with primarily trust. There are different types of trust. I'm not going to get into it other than what we were trying to do. Minimize the tax burden of the client that usually died and make sure that as much of the estate, if not the entire estate, could pass to their heirs, primarily their surviving spouse or children. But there are not many people that are that well off. That's why there's a high exemption, which I applaud. You really have to have a very successful business, but you never know when you're going to die, and that's the hard part. Could be tomorrow. could be 50 years from now. And I raise that up because what do business owners struggle with? The uncertainty created by who? The United States government. Businessmen, women understand the government needs to pay its bills, needs to tax not only them, but individuals and others. They're not against government. I'm sure there are a few that are, but they're really not. They want to pay their so-called fair share. You get an argument on that. But they're trying to reduce uncertainty and structure not only their current business transactions, but future transactions, including how do I get my property into the hands of one or more of their heirs, and at the same time enable them to continue the business. Because if you're going to be hit with a very large tax bill, most likely you either won't be able to continue the business or you're not going to be very successful continuing the business. So I have no problem and agree with getting rid of the estate and gift taxes. My challenge to President Trump and the Republican Party, both in the House and the Senate, is truly to pass not a tax cut. That's what we want. What we really want to take this opportunity, and it is an opportunity, unfortunately, that I don't think is being taken, is fundamental tax by doing away with taxes that are based on your income, both for individuals, corporations, partnerships, everybody, to simplify the tax code. But real simplification by abolishing not only the Internal Revenue Code and all the regulations pertaining thereto, but also the Internal Revenue Service. In other words, transition from a very bad, inefficient, ineffective tax system, namely the income tax system that we have now, where the basis of taxation is income, to a broad-based consumption spending tax. That's what I'm recommending, along the lines of either the fair tax that many Americans today support, both in the House, the Senate, I even would say in the executive branch, as well as the American people. The American people want fundamental tax reform, but they do not want the continuation of this very burdensome tax system that we call the income tax system. Now, I'm not going to do another show on my version of the fair tax, but I pointed out when I discussed that briefly, and I only really can do this briefly, instead of taxing your income, your neighbor's income, what a fair tax does is tax your consumption spending when you buy a new good and service. Most people don't really think about this, but when they buy a good, doesn't matter what it is, a gallon of milk, a loaf of bread, a new coat, new pair of pants, pair of shoes, a new car, a new house, no matter what you're buying, a percentage of whatever the price is to reimburse who? The business owner that has to pay all the payroll taxes. Now, some of you are saying, well, wait a minute. They withhold income taxes from my check, but they also withhold and send forward the Social Security tax. See, the employer pays, no matter who your employer is, businesses, state, it doesn't matter, pays all the tax. But they try to confuse you with the illusion that, well, the employer pays half, you pay half. No, the employer pays you. Because if we didn't have payroll taxes, he knows that he has to pay you a certain dollar figure to get the benefit of your services. That's why I'm all for competition. It's not only competition with goods and services, it's also competition in the labor market, or what's called, economists would call, factors of production. You need physical land, buildings, and labor, and an entrepreneur, someone to run it, so they get an income. So it is the owners of the business that are paying the taxes, or enabling you to pay the taxes. You see, the fair tax does away with not only all income taxes, it does away with all payroll taxes. That's the fair tax. I've gone a couple of steps further and said, let's replace all federal taxes. Now, the fair tax already has eliminated the big ones, and the big ones being the personal income tax, the corporate income tax, the estate and gift tax, and payroll tax. Those four, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's over 90%. There are a few other taxes that I didn't mention, but they'd also eliminate all capital gains taxes. That's another biggie. My fair tax version is based on the fair tax, but it makes some key changes. One, the fair tax had a rate, an inclusive rate of 23%, an exclusive rate of 30%, and how can a tax have two rates? It's how you look at the tax. In an inclusive, and the inclusive rate is really more meaningful, and it's a more meaningful comparison with the income tax. Whatever your salary is and how often you get paid for it, you're going to pay your taxes, payroll and income taxes, from the money you earn. So your money that you earn includes, that's why we're calling it the inclusive rate, income taxes. So if you relate how much money, the amount of taxes you pay, divided by your total paycheck, that gives you the inclusive rate. Now, some would say what you need to do is do the exclusive rate, subtract the taxes out, and then make it a function of the total taxes you paid. I'm not explaining this well. You have your total income. From that, you're deducting and paying whatever the taxes are, both income and payroll. What's left is free and clear of taxes. So they would include, and that's how they figure it. I shouldn't have got into this, and I'm regretting it, but the easiest way to explain the consumption tax is my loaf of bread example. Most people eat bread, and they buy it in a grocery store. And if you go into any grocery store, there's a range of breads to select, from the cheapest to the most expensive. Depends on the brand. If you do not buy the store brand, especially those that they're usually a dollar or under. So let's say you buy a dollar loaf of bread. Included in that price of the loaf of bread is approximately 23 cents of that dollar, or 23%, included in that $1 is taxes. It's already in there. Now, clearly, if you do away with all federal taxes, I'm not advocating that. I'm advocating replacing all federal taxes. No, there's a difference. I'm not saying abolish all federal taxes. I'm saying replacing all taxes with a single tax. So you're not going to be paying more. What you are doing, it's the timing of when you pay, namely not when it's due April 15th, but when you actually buy an item, you would be paying the taxes, and you decide when and how much. That's the key. See, with a 23-cent rate, the inclusive rate is 23%, but if you take that 23 cents out and divide it by the remaining number, it's 30%. That's the so-called exclusive rate. My fair tax less, the inclusive rate is 20%, the exclusive rate is 25%. You got to pay taxes. I'm for limited government, and the federal government is simply incapable, and I truly mean incapable, of balancing the budget. And it was announced today that, and they passed today, the framework for the fiscal year 2018 that started 1 October. And that will be remembered of the start of this fiscal year, 1 October, because that's when the shooting happened. They passed it not on time. Usually this should have been done months ago. They're always behind when it comes to budgetary matters. Sometimes it's the House fault. Many times it's the Senate fault. Remember, they have to come with identical language. Eventually, if the bill is going to be passed, it has to have the same language. You can't have the Senate's version and the House version, and they're different. That's why they have reconciliation. In other words, representatives of the Senate, representatives of the House go to a committee and iron out the differences and come up with the language they want. If they pass it, if they pass both houses, it goes to the president for a signature, and the president signs its law. So what the fair tax less would do, assuming it got passed, do I think it's going to be passed? No. I think it should be passed. The sooner the better. And what's standing in its way is corruption, namely the politicians have been bought and paid for. That's why, really, they don't pay much attention to us. And the only time they really do that is when election day is approaching. Most of the other days of the 2 years, if you're a representative, they don't. Oh, they'll nod their head, shake the head up and down, say, I agree with you. And then once they get back to Washington, they do something, and many times you don't even know it. That's contrary to your interest. See, the status quo is the problem. They want the status quo. Now, a number of people in the political elitist establishment, both Democrats and Republicans, understand that the problem today is our tax system. Our tax system is resulting in businesses leaving this country. And once they leave, their jobs leave with them. So we need fundamental tax reform. I think everybody agrees. What they don't agree on is how much and how. See, I totally would replace that income tax system. If you do that, you won't have the Internal Revenue Code and you won't have the regulations and you really don't need the IRS. And employers will be saving over $500 billion per year because that is roughly the ballpark of what estimated compliance costs are. It costs money just to fill out the tax returns to report and pay what you owe in taxes. Now, I'm going over this because what is truly the problem is, yeah, we need fundamental tax reform, but what we really need and what the problem is, both houses of Congress suffer from what I call spending addiction disorder. SAD for short. See, addictions, no matter what the addictions are, drugs, alcohol, women, gambling, and spending can become very bad habits, habits so bad that you can't change your behavior. And that's the situation we're in today. It's a mess, folks. Some have described it as a debt bomb. Someday you're going to wake up and you'll find interest rates will have spiked because why? The people that invest in Treasury securities say, well, we don't think the United States can collect the taxes or enough taxes. There's too much uncertainty here. So if you want us to purchase so-called Treasury securities, you're going to have to offer us a much, much higher, and I mean probably double the whatever the current rate is then, for you to lend you the money because you're a bad risk. Way bad risk. You're spending way too much money. I think we've exceeded. I didn't check this. Our GDP is real GDP. I should have checked this, but it's over $20 trillion. Lo and behold, that's also, you probably heard $20 trillion in relation to what? Yes, the national debt. The only other time we've exceeded 100% was when? During World War II. And what we did after World War II ended, it took time. It took at least 10 years. We gradually paid down that debt. And see, that's what the fair tax less does. It does two key things. Even though it would be a tax bill, and it's important that it be passed along the lines I've outlined it, and people will see the benefits and like it so much, and this is why Congress won't pass it, because they truly know if something like this were to pass, the people wouldn't support going back. And today, those in Congress, as well as the president, not this president, but most presidents, rely on large campaign contributions. And that's the heart of corruption, because the people that own this country have an agenda, and they're looking for politicians that will pass their agenda. Not what you want, not what I want, but what they want. And money is used to legally bribe them. Nothing illegal here. And the politicians are addicted to power. Besides spending, they're also addicted to power and money. It's money, power, and spending. And getting reelected and reelected to keep power. You got to connect all the dots. So whatever we would collect under a broad-based consumption tax along the lines of the fair tax less, only 90%, that would be the cap. We would put a true ceiling. We wouldn't negotiate a ceiling. Let me explain how it would work. Let's assume 1 January. Let's do this in 2018. Let's say we pass a broad-based consumption tax along the lines I'm suggesting, and I call mine fair tax less. So when you go to the store starting in January, the prices probably will be slightly go down. They could either stay the same or slightly go down. There should be very little, if any, change in the prices other than it should go slightly downwards. Because why? Fair tax less, the inclusive tax is 20%, not 23%. So you should see a slight, and I emphasize that, and doesn't mean all employers are going to give you that. Now, the reason is simple. What's happened? Employers are not paying income taxes, corporate income taxes. Their employees are not paying payroll taxes or income taxes. We're not taxing income. We're not taxing labor or capital. No capital gains. Everyone likes that. You should like that. But you have to pay for government. Point one. Point two, you got to rein in and control spending. Because we see over and over again, we're going to see it this year. My prediction, and it's a fairly safe prediction, that the budget that it's ultimately passed, about the end of next year, we'll know, have another deficit of at least $500 billion or $500 billion. At least $500 billion. That wouldn't happen with a fair tax less. Why? The maximum that they would be able to spend is 90% of what's collected. I should have done this in the second year because we don't have any past history. But we will have a very good idea every month. We'll know how much of the fair tax less is collected. So when we put together not this year but the following year's budget, we would only spend 90% of what's ever collected. In other words, you're forcing the House of Representatives to live within the means of the American people, where the means are what the American people can afford to pay in taxes. Will Congress like that? No, they'll scream and holler. And you better believe the donor-owner class, the owners of this country that have their agenda, won't like it either. No one likes change. Ask any program manager, project manager, when you make change, anyone that's has dealt with change, people don't like to change. They resist it, And that's just human nature. It's unfamiliar with them. They fear change. They fear the unknown. So to make a long story short, what would this do? Number one, it would finally balance the budget. That's what Congress can't do. Because it says to Congress, you're only going to spend 90% of what we collect, period. There's no more deficit spending. And that is truly what has gotten governments across the world in trouble. Now, it didn't originate with John Maynard Keynes, but 1936, he came out with a book. He's probably the most famous economist of the last century. And what he was advocating, and remember, he was in the United Kingdom, but the United States was in the Depression. Germany and the United Kingdom came out of it a little earlier. But he recommended that governments engage in deficit spending. In other words, spend more money than they collect in taxes to make up for the money that primarily consumers as well as businesses were not spending. And that was supposedly the way to get us out of a recession or depression. Well, it hasn't really worked out too well, but you better believe the politicians like that idea. They never remember that Keynes also said is when you're not in a recession or depression, in other words, the economy is expanding, growing, what should we do? We should run surpluses. When was the last time we had a surplus? Years ago. What I'm saying, it's time to get back to fiscal responsibility. And this so-called blueprint doesn't do it. And neither will the budget that is ultimately passed by a Republican-controlled House and Senate and signed by the president. It simply is not fiscally responsible. It continues. And don't blame the Republicans or the Democrats. They're both guilty of this. That's why I say it's a two-party tyranny. It's so out of whack that they're paying for spending today of future generations. And they're leaving a massive burden for future generations. I consider that immoral. And ultimately, it will lead to another American Revolution. You better believe it. You cannot continue to do this. The word is it's unsustainable. You better believe it's unsustainable. But what they do is they come up with this propaganda, and it is propaganda, that in 10 years we'll balance the budget, a pathway to fiscal responsibility. It never happens. You've been hearing, and I've been hearing. 10 years we'll balance the budget. In 10 years we'll... It never comes. Tomorrow never comes. 10 years never comes. We're getting deeper and deeper into debt, and we're ruining this country. And what happens when you do this? You're creating huge amounts of uncertainty, and that is a stagnating economy. That's what we have today. Now, the unemployment report will come out Friday, and I'll say something about it. It probably will sit. What you're going to see is fewer jobs being created, although President Trump likes to brag, well, this is the lowest unemployment rate, blah, 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 blah. No, Mr. Trump, you need to focus in on not the unemployment rate. And first of all, it's the U3 rate that he emphasized. I would say the U6 rate, which is slightly double that. But what's really important is how many people are working and seeking employment. You see, there are roughly 94 million people that are not in the labor force. You want a participation rate somewhere between 66 and 67%. Now, what are the Democrats afraid of? Do I think they need to be afraid of this? No. But if Donald Trump could pass legislation that truly had fundamental tax reform, in other words, went to a broad-based consumption tax, whether it's the fair tax or my version of it, combined with cutting regulation, doing away with the IRS, we could get to an unemployment rate under 3% and a labor participation rate of what? 67% or above. That's what you should key in on, is the labor participation rate above 67%. If he would accomplish that, people are participating in the labor force, and less than 3% are unemployed. Not only would President Trump earn a second term, but Vice President Mike Pence would probably get another 8 years, because we would have a roaring, not 20s, a roaring economy, a booming economy, where government spending is declining for the first time in decades. I mean, real cuts. Now, what are the chances of this happening? Slim and none. And the reason is, our politicians, Democrats and Republicans, are corrupted. They're bought and paid for politicians, and they're paid in campaign contribution. That's the coin of the realm. They have large donors, the very, very wealthy, that more or less control the country. Now, they don't think that, but they do, because we keep electing the same set of people, Republicans and Democrats, that do largely what they want. Doesn't mean they get 100%. So I'm not optimistic at all, first of all, that we're going to get anywhere near a balanced budget. Like I said, I think this time next year we'll know that the deficit for fiscal year 2018 is $500 billion plus, may even be over $600 billion. The final numbers are not out. In about 2 to 3 weeks, we will know the final deficit for fiscal year 2017. It'll probably be around $600 billion, maybe plus or minus 50 at most. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't continue to do this. We need to get government spending out of control, because it's ultimately harming the growth rates of this country. And you're not really going to have a large, significant increase in our standard of living until we get growth rates above 3%, and really at 4%, 5%, 6%. Because I'll tell you this, if we had a labor participation rate of 67% and a U3 unemployment rate of less than 3%, 3% or less, and a U6 unemployment rate of under 5%, we would be growing somewhere in the neighborhood of 4% to 5%, 6%. You need economic growth. And what's getting in the way of that today is big government. And we have two parties that are for big government. That's why if you fundamentally want a change, namely a booming economy where everyone that wants to work can work and get a permanent good-paying job, you need to do some drastic, and I mean drastic changes, not timid changes or tiny changes, massive changes. And no one's talking about it. Oh, yeah, there are a few people on talk radio, include me, that favor the fair tax or a version of it. But that's it. There's no leadership. The biggest problem in Washington, the biggest deficit in Washington is leadership. We don't have leaders. And who's to blame? Politicians? No. The owner-donor class? Yes. But ladies and gentlemen, you've been voting for these people, Democrat, Republican, for really since the Civil War. Usually it's a Democrat or Republican that wins. That's why we're in this fiscal mess. We don't have responsibility, and the economy is not booming. It's stagnating. I have to wrap it up. Thank you for listening. And tomorrow, Friday, I'll go over not only the jobs report, but any breaking news. And I think we'll have some breaking news. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, radiating reason.
and KDUX Web Radio, podcasted by procpops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.